Good afternoon, and thank you for being here. Savi and I are going to talk about the Metro Academy Initiative, which is a redesign of the first 2 years of higher education. We see this work as really the intersection between health equity and educational equity, and believe that the foundation of the work in Metro Academy is the belief that having access to a high-quality public education is a right and probably one of the most important things we can do in prevention and social justice. So Community Health Works is a 20-year-old partnership between San Francisco State Department of Health Education and City College of San Francisco Department of Health Education. We were, two important projects are housed in Community Health Works. One is the Welcome Back Project, which is a project that trains internationally trained health professionals through educational case management, how to get back into the workforce. There are 11 centers around the country. And we, in the last 20 years, have raised $27 million to do our work with from 22 different funders. The Metro Academies is being funded through a fund from the FIPSE, Fund for the Improvement of Postsecondary Education, funded first in 2007, with a follow-up grant from the James Irvine Foundation that brought in 9 CSUs and community college partners to follow what we were doing with high-level MOUs. The Peter and Mimi Haas Foundation, which is funding a second metro system in early childhood education. We were identified by the CSU as a priority for the system, received a Boxer federal appropriation to support that statewide dissemination, and now have been invited by Carnegie and Haas to join them in a project to shorten the math pathway for remediation for low-income and first-generation students. So let me begin by talking about the problem. The problem is, for those of us, how many of you are in higher education, teaching in higher education? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're not doing so good. Much like our statistics around health, we have gone in from being number 2 in the world in higher education to number 16th in the world in higher education. Whereas most countries or many countries around the world are increasing their investment in public education, we, as you know, are decreasing. The gap in college completion rates between low-income and more affluent traditional students has doubled since 1975, and although we have done a lot to increase access, our graduation rates have not increased in the last 40 years. So Metro Academy focuses on low-income and first-generation students. That is a significant amount of the 25 or 24% of all students in higher education are low-income and first-generation. And if you look at how well we are doing, we open our doors, but access without support is not opportunity, as can be seen by these statistics. All college students, 55. If you get a 55 in a class, what's that? F. We are graduating 55% of all students that cross the threshold to start higher education. Only 55% complete after 6 years. And for low income and first generation, only 11% complete after 6 years. Those who begin in 4-year institutions do a little bit better, 66% of them graduate, but for low income and first generation students after 6 years, only 34% graduate. If you begin at a 2-year institution, of all students, only 24% graduate. If you're low-income first generation, only 5%. And if you transfer from a 2-year institution into a 4-year, you have a 14% chance of graduating after 6 years if you are first generation low income. So how did we get here? How did we get to F? First of all, we all know there's been a very big disinvestment in public education. I put here K through 12, but the public investment in higher education is also going backwards. There is a growing need for remediation, and remediation is a real problem. At the community college, many students score 4 levels below college English, which means they've got 3 years of post-high school before they can ever take a college English class. And then they have another 2 years before they can transfer. And the data on this is no matter how well we do and no matter how well they do, at every point on that path, they drop off and you end up with a very small percent of students. We have a very difficult transfer process, and our completion process is also difficult. For those of us in higher education, most of us are content experts, and most of us have never taken a course in pedagogy. So when you get low-income, first-generation students and students in general, we need to start looking at not only what we teach, but how we teach it. Also, the difficulty in knowing whether what we are doing is landing makes our challenge even greater. So college education has many benefits. We know if there's one lever that we could choose that would tell us how healthy and how long someone's going to live, what is it? SES. SES is most determined by level of education, e.g. the crossroads between social justice and educational equity. We know that if you get a college degree, you're going to get a job, most likely, have a higher income, be healthier, live longer, be happier, and probably at the heart of all of this for me is be more civically and politically engaged. Savi.
So that was the problem. So what do we do about it? So Metro Academies, our mission is really, you can see it up here, it's to increase equity in college completion through engaging, supportive, rigorous, and socially relevant education. This is the social justice mission for us with Metro. This is what we're trying to do. We have two major goals: accelerate academic progress and increase 2- and 4-year college graduation rates, but specifically support underrepresented first-generation and low-income students in obtaining degrees that will prepare them to serve in high-need, high-growth fields in urban areas. We want to send students back to serve community, to serve their communities. So the Metro program has 10 essential elements. The first one is that targeted outreach is really specific for low-income and first-generation students in college. We know a lot of these practices that we're going to talk about today really work for all students, not just first-generation and low-income. However, you saw the statistics that Mary Beth put up. We're doing a disservice to that population of students, and we need to make sure that we're supporting them getting through. Essential element number 2 is we have strict alignment between 2- and 4-year institutions. We are a partnership between City College and San Francisco State for a reason. We don't want students to start in the 2-year institutions and never transfer to the 4-year. So every one of the courses that students take within the Metro Academies program is 100% articulated between the 2-year and 4-year institutions. Those students waste no time wherever they start, 4-year, 2-year, they waste no time. Every one of those courses rings up at the 4-year institution. We really want to push that community college, that the curriculum at the community college level and at the 4-year university, it's about equity for us. The students that at the 2-year take the same courses that they take with us in the 4-year. So by the time all of our students are ready for their junior year, they're in the same class and they are ready to move on for their last 2 years of their college degree. Another one of our essential elements is the student learning community. And these are actual Metro students. It's Paul, Andrew, Ksenia, Moni. They are actual Metro students. They build connections with each other and they build connections with faculty. So they stay together for 2 years through the program and they take a series of linked courses. So they take 2 courses, and I'll talk about that a little more in a minute. 2 courses together for 2 years along the way. These students become a family by the end of it. They study together outside of school. We've got about 150 students right now per academy. And you'll see in a minute, we also really push that our instructors model that same kind of community that we expect of our students. Our faculty also create a community together. So we have, like I said, a series of linked courses. They take their basic GE skill courses and they link them with health and social justice. So the first course, the green ones, where you can see critical thinking, the first course is, when they start, is they take a class that's a first-year experience course, but it's really content in health equity, education equity, and social justice. That's where they start. As they move on, they're linking courses that are GE courses with other Metro Academies courses. So their English course is linked with a health and social justice course, which is really community-focused, and their quantitative reasoning course we link with health and social policy course. Thank you. It's about breaking open the discourses. Cornel West said this yesterday. It's about breaking open discourses and connecting what they're learning in one course to what they're learning in another course. They're not just learning in isolation anymore. What they learn in one absolutely impacts the other and vice versa. Element five, contextualized content. I kind of went over that a little bit. The content sits in the center, the health content, and around it sits all of these other skills. So they're learning writing in their health course. They're learning oral communication in their health course. They're learning information literacy. All these things are built in, so there's a lot of linkages between the two courses. We also very purposefully scaffold skills across the semesters that they're with us. So we don't expect in the very first semester that they're going to be able to write a 25-page paper. We build to that by the time they're in their sophomore year. They've learned the skills and they've been scaffolded throughout the process. We also integrate student support within the course. We find that if students don't have tutoring support, early intervention support within the course, they're very unlikely to go and get it. So we bring in financial aid, we bring in the tutors, we bring in other folks that are on campus that are support services. They get introduced, they learn their names, they make a face-to-face contact, then they're more likely to see them even outside of the classroom. And like I said, we have a faculty learning community. Our faculty meet 10 times per year. 4 times across both the community college and the CSU. We have faculties of about 16 within the content areas, but also that go across the GE. The faculty learning communities really make a significant investment in developing teaching methods and talking about pedagogy. That's what our faculty community is all about. How do we make sure that we're teaching in the most effective way? And how do we make sure our students are learning? We're changing that kind of frame. Element number 9 is social responsibility. We care about the social justice piece of this. This relates really back to Bill Jenkins' talk. We're creating the next generation of servant leaders. I think at the heart of it, that's what we're trying to do with Metro Academies. I'm going to turn it back over to Mary Beth, who's going to talk about some of our initial results.
The last key element is that of student and program evaluation. We are being funded to disseminate Metro Academy, and we see ourselves really creating a process where we have dashboard indicators across the state of California, looking at the impact of the work that we are doing. Our early results for Metro are very promising. We have one pilot cohort that has been through 4 semesters. And you can see that and then one cohort that's been through just 1 year. We do have a comparison study where we've matched students on placement in English and math, as well as race, first generation, family income. And we are finding that we are making significant impacts in retention. At San Francisco State, our retention rate for the cohort is 87%, where our match comparison retention rate is at 75%. And it is even more impactful at the community college, where you can see that our Metro students are being retained at 82%, where the typical retention after 2 semesters or 4 semesters is more like 26% or 29%. We also are seeing a difference in GPA. Our Metro students are performing better academically, and they are significantly more likely to successfully complete units. We are also using the National Survey for Student Engagement, and our data shows us that This Metro students are more significantly likely to have a confidant on campus, to know more about their graduation plan, to be more likely to be committed to going back into their community and doing work in their community, and more likely to have had experience at solving complex real-world problems. This is a map of California. Our next area of interest is to do a regional approach with the 9 campuses in the LA area whose presidents have all agreed to participate with us, and we're in conversation with the Irvine Foundation about funding that. So that is our Fellows program, and the Fellows have come to San Francisco State and are working along with us to understand how to implement Metro Academies, and we are very committed to this not being a boutique program because of the fact that we need to do something different on a broad scale to be more successful at both educational excellence and college completion, and this goes along with Obama's call for more college completion. We just won another FIPSI dissemination grant, and what we see ourselves doing with that is we're going to do a couple more lateral disseminations at San Francisco State, develop a national dissemination center. We are working again with the chancellor's office of both the community colleges and the CSUs in California, as well as the heads for the National Association of Systems Heads, who are all under the gun to complete graduation rates. And we believe that we need to think outside the box, think outside the 3-unit class, begin to integrate our classes, begin to educate and elevate the importance of pedagogy and the scholarship of teaching. Thank you very much. I do have some flyers about the work we're doing that I'll just leave up front if you're interested.
Thank you. We do have time left for questions, and I guess if you want some, there's room for the presenters to come up here to facilitate answering those or whatever you prefer. Do we have any questions? No questions. Go ahead. So the question is to Dr. Love, has she encountered trouble generating enthusiasm to faculty members or about pedagogy with her faculty members?
Thanks. So I'll answer that question. I actually run the faculty learning communities, and what we found is faculty are excited, ecstatic even, to get the tools to talk about teaching. I just did a recent evaluation with our faculty, and overwhelmingly, they're excited about getting together as a community. They're excited about teaching and learning. They're excited about sharing the things that they're doing in their classrooms. So I don't think we've really found that the enthusiasm, at least with the faculty that we've worked with, has been a problem at all. They're really excited about doing this work.
Another question from anyone? Dr. Mamrie.
For the photo translation, the difference between photo translation and photo voice, I wonder if you could speak to that. Is it that the lack of community engagement or the lack of the systems policy change? I'm wondering what the difference is. How you see it.
So the question is for Dr. Miller. The question is, the difference between photo voice and photo translation.
Thank you. The difference is in photo voice, you're typically working with a population that's marginalized. And so they're creating the photographs based on their issues, their concerns within their communities. Whereas in photo translation, we're asking the students really not to create photographs based on their issue and concern, but to extrapolate in terms of concepts that they are trying to pull together and find a photograph that involves, you know, concepts. I can give an example, like in that fitness and health class that I had talked about using the process, I asked them to come up with photographs that, you know, what does fitness and health mean and how is it important? One student had a box of crayons. And so I was thinking, wow, okay, I'm really interested to find out how this relates to fitness and health. And the extrapolation was that, you know, the many colors in the crayons create a beautiful picture, and that it related to the many components of fitness relating to health. And so you needed all these various perspectives to, you know, draw a pretty picture. So that's kind of, I hope that answers your question.
Any other questions?
$22 million for Metro.
So the question is regarding funding of the Metro initiative and how those funds are used.
Yes, I'm sorry if that wasn't clear. In the last 20 years, it's been $22 million. We have about, certainly almost $3 million now invested in the Metro Academy. And the things that we've been doing are really developing the pathway, syncing the courses between the two segments of higher education, working with the fellows, working with the faculty. We are codifying everything that we're doing because we began the process with the vision that we believe this redesign from higher education being a series of three-unit courses that students check off, and that it's all about getting through that next course, to it being a program of learning where you're building upon that learning and you're breaking the learning into digestible pieces, so that particularly for first-generation and low-income students who don't have the social capital that people like my daughter has, that there is that level of support in the class so that they too can move forward in their education without hitting all the bumps. What we know, for instance, is the small percentage of community college students that do graduate from a four-year university graduate with more, on average, 170 units for a degree that only requires 120. They spend a lot of time churning. We did this, our Hartford people talked about the counselors at the high school level. At the college level, in the community college, it's like 1 to 3,000. And at San Francisco State, it's like 1 to 1,600 as far as counselors. Now, you know, the thing is that by the time they get into health ed, that's their junior year. When they get to us, we're working with them. But in those first 2 years, they're doing GE. And a lot of them don't have a home. And that's when we lose them. That's the biggest, most vulnerable time in those first 2 years. And most majors aren't reaching down into those into that time, which is why we decided to focus there. Yes, sir. Actually, that was one of the questions on the NESI that was significantly different. Are you talking to your family and friends about what you're learning in school? And because we're making everything really relevant to their lives around issues, grappling with the real world big issues that we face as a race, they have significantly more conversations out of the home. And the other thing that I want to say, I didn't know would happen, but I see happening, is that
they become scholars because when they give an oral, in their oral communication class, they're giving their talk on some issue of justice. And then when they're writing their paper, they're writing their paper on another issue around health and social justice. And then when they're doing their math, they're looking at why is it that African American babies at every level of income are low birth weight and how, what's the mean and what's the, so what our faculty report to us is that their Metro classes are lively. Because those students know something about what they're talking about. They know something about what the faculty's talking about. So they're more likely, they have a sense of themselves as, you know, having this, you know, intellectual contribution because they're coming at this same information from lots of different directions. And I think that's a big contribution to their self-efficacy as a student.
Any more questions? Well, please join me in thanking our presenters one more time for a great session.